Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Glad to be back with you. Had the day off yesterday, but ready to roll today. And we've got a ton of stuff to get to here on this Tuesday program. College basketball season is getting closer. It's still a far ways away, but it is getting closer because today at 3 o'clock, we'll find out the official Big Ten Conference men's basketball schedule for the 2018-19 season. Also, the IU roster has been released. We can now look at all the official heights and weights and gains, hopefully, for the returning players from last season. Just little things like that beginning to happen. The non-conference schedule has not been officially released, but as we've discussed now for, I guess, a lot of last week, that's basically known. We can basically wrap that up, and we know who's going to play when and where and what event it's part of and those sorts of things. So there are some things going on that mean we are getting closer. We're out of those summer months where recruiting is really only the hot spot to talk about, and inching closer to Hoosier hysteria, inching closer to the start of the college basketball season, which I know everyone is very, very excited about. Let's take a look at the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. It's Tuesday, which means after I do news and headlines of the day presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville, we will be joined by Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. Greg's segment is presented by Coffee Crossing, and Greg will join us to talk a little IU basketball. It's been a while since we checked in with Greg's thoughts on the Hoosiers and Romeo and other storylines for the upcoming season. Greg also penned a column recently about Indiana's three-way quarterback race. We'll talk with him about that. He's been at a couple of the recent fall camp practices and get Greg's latest insight on that as well. Later in the program, Mike Pegram will join us of Pegs.com. We'll dig in more to the IU football situation and the quarterback situation. We'll also talk a little basketball recruiting with Mike when he joins us in the program today. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. A lot of things to get to. The Big Ten schedule out today. It's going to be a special program on the Big Ten Network. If you get that at 3 o'clock, they'll release all the dates and the opponents, which we already know the home opponents. We already know the away opponents. We already know who Indiana will play at home and away, but that will officially come out with dates later today at 3 o'clock. Again, it's a special that will air on the Big Ten Network. John Rothstein of CBS Sports is reporting yesterday that Indiana will host Northwestern on Saturday, December 1st, as part of that early start to the conference. You remember last season, for the first time ever, there were early games like that before the holiday break. But December 1st, he reports that Indiana will take on Northwestern at Assembly Hall. And on Tuesday, December 4th, Indiana will travel to Penn State for their two early Big Ten season games with the new 20-game schedule obviously factored into things. So it looks like a good start to Big Ten Conference play perhaps for Indiana with Northwestern and Penn State, those first two opponents for Indiana. They could get off to a good start perhaps, get a couple early wins under their belt in what always is a rough and tumble down the stretch, very difficult Big Ten Conference race. So we know at least the first couple opponents in the conference schedule. But again, just hang on a few hours later today at 3 o'clock, the full deal will be out for the Big Ten Conference for the upcoming season. Also, I mentioned at the top of the show that the IU men's basketball roster was released yesterday. There are so many interesting things to look at if you want to compare heights, but specifically weights of the returning players from last season. But with all that we've spent talking about Cliff Marshall, all the updates he shared with us on social media, and obviously how hard the players have worked. He's had a lot of before and after pictures. They had contests over the summer on Gaines. They were in the sand pit. They were doing just a lot of different stuff. I don't think anybody would be shocked at some of the gains by the players in their weights and in, I'm sure, agility, things that aren't listed on the roster as well. Romeo Langford listed as the first player on the roster. That's because he'll wear number 0 for Indiana. He is listed officially at 6'6", 215 pounds, and there's no question that Romeo himself has bulked up as well, taking advantage of a big summer opportunity to really work with Cliff Marshall, train with Cliff Marshall, lift weights on a serious basis, probably a lot of changes in the diet as well, but he obviously has bulked up, and I'm sure between now and the start of the season will continue to bulk up more. But some interesting things, if you look at the roster again, just comparing the weights of some of the players that are returning from last year, a lot of players with a lot of gains for the upcoming season. And again, in a rough and tumble Big Ten Conference, as we like to say, having that extra strength, that extra weight, many times can be a bonus for sure. Also, a couple other headlines to pass along on this Tuesday program. Indiana ranked 10th nationally in attendance for the 2017-18 season. Only one Big Ten school ahead of Indiana as far as average home attendance, Wisconsin at 17,272, Indiana 15,590. So Indiana continues to be in the top 10 of national attendance. Also, interesting to see Thomas Bryant and OG Anunoby. They both have been, or were on campus, I should say, for a few days. There were some pictures of them doing workouts with Cliff Marshall. There was a picture last night of OG Anunoby with a couple Indiana players, including Romeo and Robert Fennessy, sitting at a table taking in the Indiana volleyball contest last night, one of their opening home games. So obviously good to see two former players back on campus. They are still right in the middle of their offseason, taking advantage of the facilities in Indiana, taking advantage of the strength coach and things like that, that they can come back and visit. Obviously, Archie Miller didn't coach those guys, but with the number of Indiana players that seem to return, whether they're in the NBA, stopping by for a few days to work out and play with the team, or whether it's somebody just stopping by for a visit with Archie Miller and the assistant coaches, a lot of connections being made with former IU players that played under different head coaches in that program. Also, tomorrow, the Form Tip-Off Classic schedule is supposed to be finalized and released. Brian Snow, the director of that great event, will have a full rundown on the games for us. He's actually going to join us on Wednesday's radio show. And, of course, the headline game is already out there. Center Grove with Trace Jackson Davis will take on Keon Brooks, Isaiah Stewart with the LaPorte La Lemire team. But there's going to be obviously a handful of games that day. It's always a day that 6, 7, 8 games in one day, and I understand we're going to have a local participant. New Albany has been in that contest for the past 3 seasons. They've played some big-time opponents in that event. Some great crowds have packed into Southport for that day of games. And last year, almost every game had an IU connection with a potential recruit or a commitment. Jerome Hunter's team from Ohio came over and played a game. We'll see what the lineup looks like this year. We know the headline matchup is going to be a big-time game for the early part of the season, and we'll see who the local team is. We'll also see some of the other matchups tomorrow when Brian Snow joins us on the program in our Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. That's a look at the headlines on this Tuesday edition of the program. The Hoosier headlines are presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, it's where fun happens. Also, hopefully you listened on Friday, whether you were at a high school game or not. We had 5+ hours of local high school football coverage here on the Big X. It started in the 6 o'clock hour with our kickoff show, which was not only live on the Big X, but also live on 93.9 The Ville. We had all kinds of previews of the big high school football games for week one on both sides of the river. From 7 o'clock till the end of the games here on the Big X, we had coverage of Charlestown and Silver Creek. We had coverage of New Albany and Providence. We checked in with the Mayo Floyd Central game a few times. We had constant scoreboards and updates from every game across the area. Basically, it's like a red zone approach. We're trying to give you the best moments of as many games as we possibly can across Southern Indiana while keeping you posted constantly on scores. We'll refine a couple things this week. We'll be back at it again this Friday for week two of high school football. Some very interesting storylines to follow going into week two. New Albany got off to a tremendous start with a big victory over Providence. And for some of the other local teams, Floyd Central taking on Mayo, Jeffersonville had a very tough opponent in Pulaski Southwestern. A lot of our local teams in week one played very, very extremely tough competition. So in week two, for some of them, it's going to be an opportunity to see maybe settling down a bit as far as competition goes, who they are, what they can do this season. For New Albany, they're going to take on Castle, coming off a big win over Providence. That's kind of the next step for them. How can they compete against the perennial power in Castle? So some interesting things we'll talk about this week. Most importantly, we'll have coverage for you of all those contests on Friday. We hope that you'll make it a Friday routine to listen to Kentuckiana Football Fridays here on the Big X. When the games were all over Friday, and this Friday as well, we had our scoreboard show, which again was not only on the Big X, but also 93.9 The Ville. We had coaches, we had media, we had a lot of different reports from some of the radio broadcasters across the area. It was a great way to conclude week one of high school football and get a real rundown. We had some interesting things happen on both sides. St. X got beat, Trinity got beat on the Louisville side of things, and we had some really good games and interesting, as I said, storylines coming out of week one over here. So it was a lot of fun. Make sure that you remember Fridays, and we'll remind you this week, but make sure you remember on Friday evenings, the Big X is the place to be for high school football. We're covering it like it's never been done before, trying to get you the most games on, the best moments we can with constant score updates. We hope you'll join us for week two. Head out to a commercial break. We'll come back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll talk some IU basketball, get Greg's thoughts on the schedule and the team for the upcoming season. We'll also talk about Indiana's quarterback race with Greg coming up after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back here on this Tuesday edition of the program. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is our guest. My chat with Greg each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. Now that school is back in session, stop by for coffee on your way to drop the kids off, or come stay a while once the kids are safely at their desk. Either way, let Coffee Crossing brighten your day. Greg, great to catch up with you. IU basketball still a number of months away, but the schedule came out, or I should say the Big Ten schedule will come out later today. IU posted its official roster for the 2018-19 team yesterday as well, with all the updated measurements and heights and weights, and we see a lot of gains for some of the returning players. And with those small things, the season is inching just a little closer.
Did Romeo make the team?
Yes, he's first on the roster at number zero.
I love that number for him. What's his height and weight officially? What are they saying?
Let me pull it up and tell you here. He is
6'6", 215. Oh, I totally guessed that. Okay, good, because that's not where he's going to end up, but that's a great first step. I think he played last year. You know better than me, but I want to say, if I read about him, I read he was 6'5", 195, 200 maybe?
Makes sense, yeah. I think he's definitely gained 15 pounds, I would say, at least from last season. Just on a visual look, you know, you don't see somebody for a while, and he shows up at the Romeo Court opening or some of the special times he's been back, and you can notice an obvious difference.
Right, exactly. When you're with somebody every day and they gain a half pound every 2 days, you don't notice that. But, yeah, 15 pounds from spot to spot is pretty cool. So I can't wait to see that myself. And he did look a little bit bigger than 6'5", and maybe so 6'6", I like it. And I'm not sure he's done growing height-wise. I mean, who can ever say about anybody? But I know he'll get a little bit bigger because he's so long. You know, if you got short arms, you know, 215 goes a long way. If you got long, long pterodactyl arms, you know, 215 is not quite everybody else's 215 because he's so slender. So I bet he's 220, 225, and someday he's going to be just a force. I mean, he's already an athletic, just ridiculous, you know, freak and can shoot and all that. But the day's coming where he gets more weight and more instruction just on how to be a low post player, and he's going to learn how just to punish people on the block, take them down low, because if they're going to, you know, shade him out to 30 feet, then he'll take him down low and just, you know, he's not LeBron, but do what LeBron does, which is if you're going to deny me way out here, then I'm going to go down and beat the crap out of you because I'm bigger than you are, and there's going to be very few people anywhere near his size that can move like him. Therefore, he's going to have smaller guys on him, and he's just going to go punish him.
I mentioned this last week, and I didn't even plan to bring this up with you, but as you were talking, it popped in my head. Watching Duke in Canada, and I know that they drew some criticism because they didn't play the perennial college power in college basketball in Canada. I forget the name of the team.
Does
Indiana.
It matter? I mean, they're going to name their score against anybody in Canada. What are we? Are people really complaining about that?
I've heard a couple times. I brought it up, and I've had tweets and people say, "Well, they didn't play the top competition." But my point is how good the freshmen played. I don't care if it's Canadian teams or what. And I feel a connection to those guys on Duke. I'm not a Duke fan. I never watch Duke unless they're playing Indiana or someone maybe from the Big Ten Conference. It's not like I'm looking for their games on television, but you feel a connection to those guys because they're names that were in front of Romeo for a number of seasons in these national player rankings. So obviously you want to know how good they are. If Romeo's great, how good can these guys possibly be? They were ahead of him. But to see how they performed in their college debut, so to speak, up in Canada, just dominating the game for Duke, R.J. Barrett and Zion Williamson, really excited to see at what level Romeo can step in there. Will it be a great contribution he'll make to Indiana, or will in some of these games he be able to dominate like some of his classmates did in those Canadian tour games?
Yeah, and part of what helps those two, and certainly it's not the biggest part, but it you can't dismiss it, is that they have each other. And so if Zion Williams is on the court and so is the Canadian kid, you can't just shade the one because the other one will kill you. So, and IU doesn't have that. I mean, they got some really nice players. Juwan Morgan, they got some nice players. They don't have two just ridiculous NBA-sized perimeter freaks. You know, they don't have two of them. IU's got one, Duke has two, and that helps. But Zion Williamson is, he might be as interesting a basketball player as I've ever seen. Certainly coming out of high school, and I guess, I don't mind invoking his name now. The only athletic specimen that has ever intrigued me like Zion Williamson was LeBron, and no, Zion will not be that good. I mean, I have no idea how good he'll be, but he won't be the best ever, so he won't be LeBron. But in terms of just, you're too big to move like that. In fact, he's much bigger. LeBron was 6'8", 220 in high school. This guy is 6'6", I don't know, 260? Well, I mean, whatever he is, he's absurd. His body is nuts. And he elevates. I bet his vertical is better than Romeo's. And Romeo's is a fruitcake athlete, just not even sane. But Zion Williamson, the first time I ever even heard Zion Williamson was maybe 3 years ago. Somebody from the Big East was in town playing Butler. And I know who it was, I just don't want to say it. But they were a Big East team, and I went and visited the guy, the coaching staff, in their hotel. And they're staying at the JW Marriott downtown. And one of the assistants says, have you heard of Zion Williamson? No. And he pulls up a YouTube thing of Zion Williamson. And I'm watching. At that point, he's kind of sloppy. He doesn't look sloppy anymore. He looks like an NFL outside linebacker. Yeah. But at the time, he was sloppy. He looked like an NFL offensive guard. But this coaching staff was just laughing at what we were watching because it's just not normal. It's not as good as Barrett is, PJ, BJ, whatever, that, Barnett, Barrett. As good as he is, Zion Williamson is athletically the most fascinating basketball player, I'm willing to say this, that I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's going to be very, very interesting, him and Barrett, to watch for Duke. And, again, I think that got me even more excited about what maybe Romeo could do as a freshman. Talking about a few other things on the roster, and I wasn't surprised, and I don't get the feeling that anyone else is, but, and I didn't compare it, you know, line by line for the returners from last year's roster either, but there have been clear gains made by not only the incoming guys, but the guys you can track where you know their heights and their weights from last season. And with all the off-season work that IU fans were treated a little inside peek to from Cliff Marshall's tweets and from the program putting out videos of some of the on and off the court workouts. I don't think it's any surprise with the, especially before and after pictures that Cliff Marshall put out, that there have been significant gains on weight by a number of players. And you think about the Big Ten Conference, and you think about Michigan State and Wisconsin and some of the teams at Purdue even that have been predominantly at the top of the league, and you think about big and physical, strong players. And I think that everyone welcomes gains by players, whether it's somebody expected to be a starter or someone whose role for next season's team is unknown.
Yeah, the Big Ten schedule, it's punishing. It's brutal. And by midseason, if you're, you know, not punishing people, you're being punished. It's kind of a eat or be eaten kind of deal. And IU has kind of over the years, they've kind of gotten eaten up a little bit. It's also been a lack of depth in certain spots. But still, they've gotten eaten up a little bit. And they've had undersized guards and not a whole lot of post players. So there's reasons they get beaten up, but they have been. But Archie, you know, Archie Miller's, I mean, when IU hired him, I think anybody who knew anything about Archie knew what IU was getting, and they were getting somebody who was no nonsense, and that means, I mean, in every possible way, including if there's two teams in the court, one's going to be tougher, that's going to be us. And it's not always going to happen, but that his goal is to do that, and the only way that happens is you get a guy like Cliff Marshall to do what he does. And I'll be looking forward to seeing guys like Juwan Morgan, who've been a certain, you know, size his whole career, and he's got the NBA to look forward to, and he got some NBA feedback, I'm sure. And so I imagine they told him, well, either A, you've got to get smaller and get even better on the perimeter, which I can't imagine, or B, you better get a little bit stronger, because if your game is kind of near the hoop like it is, you better be able to out-muscle guys bigger than you, and right now you can't do that. So I'll be really looking forward to seeing Juwan Morgan. I bet he's – do you have any idea? I mean, what's he listed at right now? He was 6'8", I want to say like 223 last year. What's he now?
Yeah, give me a second. I'll pull it up here. Juwan Morgan, he is 6'8", 232 is what he officially is listed at on the roster.
Yeah, actually, that might be the same thing. But whatever, I'm looking forward to seeing that guy. But Romeo, I guess they won't change his weight again. And, you know, once the season gets going, practice gets going here in earnest in about 2 months, he's going to start dropping weight probably. It's really hard to keep it on at that level. But I wonder if he's even done at 215 even right now. You know, if he can put on that much weight and 3 months, well, he's got another 6 weeks before practice starts.
Yeah, absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. One other basketball thing to bring up as well. The conference schedule will come out later today. IU has not released anything as far as the non-conference games go, but we can piece together that schedule and basically have the full slate just without the times and some of those details. The best thing to me, though, Greg, and it's not perfect because if it was perfect, it would be in Indianapolis, but the best thing to me is that the 2019 Big Ten Tournament is at the United Center in Chicago, and not up east somewhere in an area that is out of the Midwest, out of the heart of the conference.
Yeah, thank goodness for that. This whole idea of a geographic footprint, I just hate that gobbledygook. And yeah, New York is, because of Rutgers, for God's sake, is in the geographic footprint. But, you know, there's parts of the foot, like that's the pinky toe. Let's not put the whole damn body in the pinky toe. Let's put the body where the, you know, where the sole of the foot is. And the sole of the foot is Chicago, Indiana. Chicago, Indianapolis. Or that's the sole. So, good. Better Chicago than there. Better here than there. But I'll take Chicago. I'll take Chicago because that means if you're an IU fan within driving distance, if you want it badly enough and can afford it, you can go watch that game. New York, it's more than wanting it. I mean, it's hard to afford that. That's a big time trip in a lot of ways. And Chicago will be a lot more reasonable.
Have you had a chance to look at IU's non-conference schedule as a whole laid out to make comparisons to last year or your thoughts on who Indiana will take on before Big Ten conference play begins?
No, I feel like it's more competitive this year. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you sure. can tell, you know, how good does a coach think his team is or can be? You look at the non-conference schedule, and it's the non-conference schedules when they're playing just 12 embarrassingly bad games. That's a coach who doesn't have a lot of faith in his team, and he, you know, he wants to win 20, and he better get 11 or 12 of them fast because he's not going to win that many in conference. So when you see a school like IU playing a schedule like this, you know that Archie thinks, you know, we can be something. Not necessarily they're going to win them all. It doesn't mean that. It just means that when March rolls around, we can make some noise, but we're only going to be ready to make some noise if we maybe even take some lumps. You know, you're not going to win them all, but you got to play these tough games right now so that March comes around, you won't be shell-shocked.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. you had a great column, and there's been so much written, so much said about IU's quarterback race. Still a three-way race right now. There was another scrimmage over the weekend, but you really broke down each of the quarterbacks as far as their strengths and weaknesses. But you also left us with a question or a statement maybe that you believe in this quarterback decision. Not only are we going to learn soon, we think, who IU's starter will be, at least for the first game, but we'll learn about Tom Allen as well as a coach and the direction that he wants to take this program.
Yeah, and I'm a, you know, I write columns, so I have opinions, and so that's allowed. And you know, I've been on here a lot talking very, very, very nicely about Romeo, about Archie. So I'm not anti-Red. That damn well better be established. But I'm not sure about Tom Allen. I'm not saying I know he's no good. I'm just saying I'm not sure. Like Purdue, I'm sure. You know, Jeff Brohm, Mike, we're all sure. We get it. Nobody's sure about Tom Allen. Anybody tells you they're sure, they're wrong. They're lying. They don't know. This position will tell me a lot about who he is, because far and away the least gifted quarterback on the roster is Peyton Ramsey. Far and away. Now he's pretty good. I mean, I saw him last year. He's pretty good, but he's not competing against air. He's competing against two athletes that are better. But one athlete has only been on campus, the Arizona transfer Dawkins, only been on campus for, you know, a few months, if that. So the coaching staff hasn't had a whole lot of time to teach him this and that. But he is a fifth year, or at the very least a graduate senior, so he ought to pick up stuff better than most. The other one, true freshman Michael Penix, has been on campus since January. So he went all the way through spring practice and now fall and summer. And he's the best quarterback recruit IU has had on paper. I don't even know. I mean, obviously Randall L was a great college player, but he wasn't a big-time college football quarterback recruit. So Penix is as good as they've had in decades. And if your coaching staff can't make one of those two guys the starter, then I got questions about your coaching staff. And if you're going to, and again, I like Peyton Ramsey. I mean, I hate even saying it like this. It's just that they've recruited over him. You know, it's not my fault for noticing, but they've recruited over him. Two athletes better than him at quarterback. If they can't get either athlete ready, or if Tom Allen thinks that, I'd rather be safe. And Peyton Ramsey's not going to lose you a whole lot of games. I'm not sure how many he's going to win, though. But let's go get a guy that I'm pretty sure we can go 5-7 with, as opposed to rolling the dice on somebody that might be 8-4, but might be 3-9. If he goes safe, kind of like I was talking about earlier with college basketball and their non-conference schedules, you learn a lot about a coach and his team on who they schedule. We're going to learn a whole lot about this coaching staff, about which quarterback, A, they're able to get ready to play, and B, which one they settle on. And I hate saying that as much as I am saying it, because Peyton Ramsey, you know, he's from Cincinnati. I watched him in high school. I like that young man. But facts are facts.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, joins us each week presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, great chat. Thanks for all the insight. Look forward to Tuesdays. We'll do it next week.
All right, Matt. Thanks. Bye.
All right, Greg Doyle, presented by Coffee Crossing. Now that school is back in session, stop by for coffee on your way to drop the kids off, or you can come stay a while once the kids are safely at their desk. Either way, let Coffee Crossing brighten your day. We're going to head out to a commercial break. We'll come back with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. More IU football, also some IU basketball recruiting coming up in the next segment after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back here on this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, my guest every week in this segment. We're going to talk some IU football and some basketball recruiting with Mike. But first, I want to open with this, Mike. The schedule will come out later today for the Big Ten Conference. The roster was also updated recently as well for the 2018-19 season. We've all been scouring through it, looking at who maybe had the biggest gains and maybe who grew some and that sort of thing. What's the biggest thing that stands out to you on the 2018-19 official roster?
I guess a couple things with the freshman. Romeo being up to, I think, was 215.
Mm-hmm.
That surprised me, I must admit. You know, I guess he is up to 6'6 now. Maybe I shouldn't have been surprised, but 215 is pretty solid body for that kind of height. And, you know, he's always been somebody that's been long and lean, and maybe he's gotten the the kind of bulk to be pretty effective in different spots on the floor. So that's pretty important for Indiana. I think that, I think Demezie Anderson being listed as 6'7", I've kind of always viewed him in the 6'5", 6'6" area, even though I know he's been listed by some as 6'7", but have listed there maybe is more proof that he's, you know, a little bit taller. He's also up, I think, around 215 in the weight area. So it's those kind of things jumped out at me. Clifton Moore's added some muscle. Deron Davis is only up about 5 pounds. We're kind of getting worried about him. We're hearing people getting worried about him because of his being so immobile, recovering from that Achilles, where he might get back up to the weight issues he had before. And if you remember, he was in the 270 to 275 range his freshman year, but he was only listed, I think, at 254, 255. So he's not doing too bad in that area.
What is the, you bring up a point that does come up from time to time about Deron Davis. What is the latest that you are aware of with him as far as his ability after the season-ending knee injury last year to do off-season work? Is he recovered that far along where he can get out there and do some things and go through the physical workouts to prepare for the season, or does he still have to be very easy on that knee?
He still has to be easy. I think the fact that he's 6'10", 255 is pushing him towards the end of the range we were given, which is 6 to 9 months, and 9 months puts him into October before he can really maybe begin to do anything close to full go. So, I guess we're looking at another month or two, unless something has changed. Players just got back from being a couple weeks off. First day of school was yesterday. But the expectation is he might not be ready, or if he is ready, he's just getting back into things in October-ish.
Mike Pegram, Pigs.com, our guest. Same thing. I ask you your top thoughts on the roster with the heights and the weights for this season. What are your thoughts on the non-conference schedule? Nothing official has come out from the school, but we basically know the full non-conference schedule. We'll know the Big Ten portion of the schedule later when that is officially announced today. But your thoughts on this full non-conference slate, maybe compared to the last couple seasons at Indiana, how does it stack up?
I think it's the toughest non-conference since the Mike Davis era. Some of it's kind of thrust upon Indiana by playing two more Big Ten games, so that's two less non-conference games, and the higher major games are kind of locked into. So that really means two less lightweights on the schedule, to be frank. But they're going to Arkansas, they're going to Duke, they're playing Marquette, Butler, so it's a pretty loaded schedule, especially in just real reduction in amount of games that you can just kind of write off as a victory without even playing the game.
Mike Pegram of Pigs.com is our guest. Don't forget Jeff Rabjohns joins us on Wednesdays, and Matt Weaver will be joining us on a regular basis here soon, our football expert with the college football season just around the corner. Speaking of football, the quarterback race has dominated the headlines. Greg Doyle just had his thoughts on his column that he wrote that came out today maybe how this decision will tell us more about Tom Allen and the direction that he sees the program or wants the program to go. It does seem like after another scrimmage over the weekend that one way or another the starting quarterback announcement will come this week. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're guessing right now it's coming Thursday. So we're 2 days away, I think. Now, who knows, because if they're hemming and hawing about it, it may want more time. But we're really expecting it to come by Thursday because Coach Allen will have, as we just heard, will be available that day, which wasn't the original plan. And we really expect that to be QB-related in large part. So looking forward to finding out the news then, and I'll be at practice tomorrow. Today it was close to media, but tomorrow I think will maybe give us an indication if maybe they've moved already to one guy, but with official word maybe coming on Thursday. I do expect it probably be Michael Penix or Peyton Ramsey. I really think those two have been the best in camp, and Michael Penix is the most talented of the three I just don't know if he's quite ready to be jumped into the fray right away as a true freshman in his home state with a lot of adrenaline and you know, possibilities of making mistakes because he's never been in a game before. So, you know, it could be a safe choice of Peyton Ramsey, or it could be a gamble on the guy they really know is probably their future in Michael Penix.
I mean, let's be honest, and we definitely have seen this before in recent times with Indiana football. No matter who is named the starting quarterback by Coach Allen this week, isn't it likely that multiple quarterbacks could see action, could see snaps this season if things don't go well out of the gate for whoever is named the starter?
Yeah, and I also think Brandon Dawkins has begun to play better, and he's actually a very good candidate for a quick relief change of pace off the bench because he runs the ball so well, and he has quite a bit of experience. So, you know, he could be the ideal kind of backup, and maybe you decide that, you know, Michael Penix is more of a long-term project, and therefore you want to maybe play him or end up with a red shirt. So that really is what Dawkins gives you, that kind of flexibility to do that. But, yeah, I do think we'll see multiple guys. I think the redshirt rule allowing players to play up to four games and still take a redshirt will mean that we will see a fair amount of Michael Penix, whether he just, you know, he burns at redshirt or not.
We're talking with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, some IU football. We're going to get into IU basketball recruiting in just a moment. But one more football question. Obviously, the incoming freshman class for Indiana football, I really don't know how they stack up or where they are thought of by the recruiting analysts out there on the football side. What I do know is there was a lot of excitement that Reese Taylor, Indiana's Mr. Football winner, committed to Indiana and is expected to be a somewhat major contributor in his freshman year. One of the big things that I've always seen fall camp for is for the coaches to figure out, okay, we recruited freshmen, we got their commitments because we thought they could help their program. But when you take commitments from kids, especially, and this goes for all sports, but I think maybe in football as well, given bodies and weight and those sort of things. But, you know, you don't always take a commitment from a kid thinking he's going to come right in as a freshman and play, especially in the Big Ten Conference, especially in football. Name some freshmen or the names of some freshmen in addition to Reese Taylor that you think could help this team right out of the gate as freshmen that will get playing time.
I think Stevie Scott at running back just has a pro body, SEC-looking body, you know, back there. And he was apparently really good in the scrimmage on this past Saturday. Wide receiver, they'll have to play freshman. They always play freshman. That means Miles Marshall and Jacoby Hugh will be out there quite a bit. And then James Head's a really good defensive end / linebacker kind of on the outside spot. Again, a guy who is out of Miami area, looks like a pro in my mind. True freshman, Brian Fitzgerald, didn't get to play last year at safety. Devin Matthews, another true freshman. An actual true freshman at safety is another guy that might end up starting. So there's a lot of guys making an impact, and those are the guys that come to mind, but I can keep going. There's some guys at tight end, but usually it's a position where they need some help or guys just overwhelmingly good. And we've already gone through Michael Penix, you know, and possibly your starting quarterback could be a true freshman.
Absolutely. Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Little basketball recruiting. Things are sure more quieter than what they have been on that front. Obviously, July is the big month when the coaches are out, and there's always some list cuts and news once the month of July comes to a close. We know Hoosier Hysteria will be the next really big day for IU basketball recruiting, but the football season as a whole is also a chance to have guys in both official and unofficial visits to take a look at the campus and hang with the coaches and even some of the players as well. What's next for Indiana recruiting?
Well, I believe they might be getting a visit from Zeke Najaide from Minneapolis, a top 35-ranked big man who's looking at Minnesota, Wisconsin, Kansas, and Arizona, and a few other schools. But those are the main threats, I would think, to Indiana. He's a teammate of Matthew Hurt, who Indiana has been recruiting for quite a long time. But Matthew Hurt seems more ticketed to Kansas, Duke, or Carolina, though Indiana may be in there in the top five and earn an official visit. So that's coming up real soon, and then Armand Franklin's coming in. It really looks like it's, he's down to three with IU, Purdue, and Xavier, and I think he's coming in the next few days. So it's with school starting on Monday, in home football games are a huge thing, but any time now, kids come in for visits, and so we're going to start off here with Franklin and Najee, and really get going. And if you weren't aware, Trace Jackson Davis is on campus this weekend, unofficially, a low profile visit. He wanted to keep it under the radar, but that's another good sign for Indiana.
Yeah, I was getting ready to ask you about that. I saw a picture of Trace in Buffalo's, a great wings place in Bloomington, and I wondered if, there was no mention, obviously, from the restaurant that he was on any sort of visit, but I did find it odd he'd be in Bloomington on a random weekday. Interesting that he would want to keep something like that quiet. I think that I have no knowledge of this. Jeff and I have talked about this some on the program, but I think that he's been so overwhelmingly identified as an IU guy, even by other college coaches that maybe he felt were backing off, that he really wants to go through this process and make a decision, and the decision to not really be known. I think he has maybe taken some steps to keep the IU recruitment on a lower profile. Do you get that same feeling?
Yeah, well, we heard he wanted to be, feel like a normal student, hang around some friends. It's hard when you're 6'8", 6'9", to have that happen. It was a big weekend. As you know, the first weekend before school starts is huge. So he probably had tons of friends, whether they're, still in Center Grover or a freshman at IU, but it's a big weekend to come down So it's not a surprise that he was there, but he did kind of go out of his way to make, not to all media and everything that, or talk to them about it. I always, I continue to view those little trips. It may not in of itself be a big deal, but it's always a good sign that you develop in the relationship, becoming really comfortable with the town and the campus. It's good for IU, and that they're 35 minutes drive from where he's living.
Absolutely. Mike Pegram, Pigs.com, our guest. Mike, always great to catch up with you on Tuesdays. Thanks for the chat. We covered a lot of ground, and I'm sure we'll continue to do so each week.
All right, Matt. Talk to you next week. Take care.
Absolutely. We're going to head to a commercial break. I tell you what, when we come back, I have a little bit of breaking news to tell you. Sean East, New Albany senior, outgoing senior, I should say, has really taken his time in deciding what he wants to do for his basketball future. There was the thought he may go to junior college for a year, and then he got a Division I offer from a mid-major school in Missouri, and he's going to go a route to the prep school route, and I'm going to tell you about it when we come back. He just, while we've been on the air, sent me his official plans for this upcoming school year, which for the prep side of things will begin very soon. So when we come back, I'll have the latest on Sean East and where he will be playing basketball for the upcoming 2018-19 season. Stay with us for that coming up here in just a few moments on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
A basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final quick segment here on this Tuesday show. I tell you, as Romeo Langford built his career at New Albany High School and became a legend across the state of Indiana and beyond, gaining a lot of attention and a lot of fans was Sean East, who graduated as well this past season, this past school year. And Sean had multiple opportunities to go to the junior college route to play one season, simply to get re-recruited as his game came on in his senior year and see what college opportunities at the Division I level perhaps were out there for him. He even continued to play some travel and AAU basketball as an unsigned senior throughout a great portion of the spring and summer, which gave colleges another opportunity to watch him. And he did have some interest. He's always had interest in his game, but never really got a ton of scholarship offers. He did get a Division I offer from, I think, Southeast Missouri, from the Division I ranks earlier this summer, but decided not to take it. He tells me today, and a lot of people asking about Sean, even though the season is long past, what is Sean East going to do? Where is he going to play at? We want to be able to follow him and see where he gets re-recruited to. But Sean tells me just earlier in this 11 o'clock hour that he is going to play at Combine Academy. They have a number of schools across the country, but he's going to play at the location in Charlotte, North Carolina, really just outside of Charlotte in a city called Lincolnton, North Carolina. He will play for their postgraduate team, which means it's going to be primarily kids that are in their fifth year of high school to continue to work on things for the college level, not just on the court, but academically as well, you know, preparatory stuff on that side of things as well, and play a very elite schedule, get to play against a lot of top competition, some of the big prep school teams out there, and obviously get seen by a lot of college coaches. So that is where Sean East will be at. We can close the book on his future now. A lot of fans of Sean wanting to know where he would land and where he would play at, but he is going to play again for a team called Combine Academy, located just outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. They've got a lot of sports. They even have a high school team. They also have prep teams. He will be on the postgraduate prep team that will play, it looks like, according to what the schedule was last year, a very, very competitive and high-level season of basketball in a lot of big situations where college coaches will be there. So congratulations to Sean on the decision. We'll have more on that, I'm sure, coming up. But a lot of people have wanted to know where Sean will be. And as of earlier this hour, that's what he tells me, Combine Academy in North Carolina. So congrats to him. That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday edition of the program. We'll be back on Wednesday. Jeff Rabjohns will join me for a chat on IU basketball and some football as well. We'll also have Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, in studio to talk local headlines in Southern Indiana sports. And we'll have Brian Snow of Scout.com, who also is the director of the Forum Tip-Off Classic. He will join us for a conversation to give us the full lineup for the 2018 version of the Forum Tip-Off Classic, which will feature Center Grove and Trace Jackson Davis against Keon Brooks and Laporte LaLamere in the night game, the key matchup, but we'll have the full schedule. We'll have some other recruiting discussion with him as well coming up. So stay with us for that. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday. Great to be back with you. Until tomorrow at 11 o'clock, Matt Dennison saying have a great day, everybody.